Welcome to Online Church. My name's Graham. I'm one of the regional ministers with the Eastern Baptist Association. It's nice to be here joining you. I've brought some snacks, some popcorn, ready for the interval later, and something to drink. I won't tell the label brand. We don't want to do any product placement, do we? Unless it says Holy Spirit on it or something. I wanted to talk to you a little bit. You might have seen the video I made a few weeks ago about Jesus being transfigured. Jesus, Peter, James and John go up a mountain. Jesus is transformed. He glows before them. God the Father says, "That's my boy. I'm so proud of him." Peter, with his Old Testament understanding of temples and tabernacles as being the place where God lives, says, "Let's build shelters. Let's bottle the presence of God. Let's keep him here." And Jesus, in contrast, says, "No, we're going down the mountain. We're taking God's presence out into the world." And the point of that video, that talk, was to say, are we trying to bottle and hold on to the presence of God? Or are we willing to take God's presence out into the world? In other words, are we like Peter, or are we more like Jesus? Looking at these pictures coming up on the screen, in which of these pictures is God's presence found? Looking at this first one of people worshipping, of course we'd say, yes, definitely God's presence is found there. But how about the second one, of someone's home, perhaps where you're sat now watching this? Would you have said 2 months ago that's where God's presence is found, as much as it is in that first picture of people worshipping? And would our view be different now? And undoubtedly it will be, as we've learned what it is to worship in our homes, to connect together over the internet or perhaps in other ways. Well, how about this third picture of people at a concert? Does God work at concerts or just at Christian concerts? I've got a friend who God called to Christian ministry at a One Direction concert. Now that's just bizarre, isn't it? How does someone go to church and not hear God speak, but go to a One Direction concert and actually hear God guide, direct and completely transform their life? God moves in all sorts of ways. Well, how about this picture of a school? Is God at work in schools? You might say, well, yes, of course he is, because there might be a Christian chaplain there. There might be Christians taking assemblies. But in my view, you can't take God into a school because God is there already. In the Bible, in Ephesians 2 and in a number of places, it says that we, Christians, as individuals and as collectively as a church, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 2 verse 21, it says, in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. In the Old Testament, there was a temple building that was built. In the temple, there was the outer courts where anyone could go. And then there was the part where the women, Jewish women, could get to. And then you were getting a bit closer to the actual temple building itself. The Jewish men could get there and stand at or near the altar where animals were sacrificed. We won't dwell on that too much. And then moving beyond there, there was the temple building where the priests could go. And right at the far end, in the far corner of the temple building, was the most holy place where the most holy presence of God dwelt. And only in that place the high priest could go. In Ephesians 2, when it says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that is the place it's talking about. The Greek language that the New Testament was written in uses the word naos, the most holy place. You as a Christian and we as the church are that most holy place where God's presence dwells. In Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel has a picture of water flowing out of the temple. I don't think this picture was to do with the plumbing, pipe bursting or anything like that. This was a picture of the presence of God that would flow out from the temple into the world. There would come a time when, rather than people having to go into the temple to engage with God, God's presence would flow out freely. And the further that the presence, the water got from the temple, the deeper it get. Don't you find that significant? The further away from the building, the more powerful the presence of God would be. Everything would be turned inside out. Rather than us coming travelling to get to God, we would take God's presence out into the world. And isn't that what's happened during this time of COVID-19 and lockdown? We've been forced to think away from our buildings. We're not saying to people, come to our buildings and meet with God. We're taking God's presence out into the world and we're seeing God's presence move out. When Jesus was on the earth during the Feast of Tabernacles, he shouted out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." And one of the things that happened in the Feast of Tabernacles was on the temple steps, they poured water down the steps. And they did that as a reminder of Ezekiel's vision that we just talked about. Was it in that moment of this water gushing down the temple steps that Jesus is saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And by this, Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Is Jesus envisioning this time where we're going to take God's presence out into this world, that we are the fulfillment of Ezekiel 47? We are the carriers of the presence out into the world. No longer do we have to say to people, "Come to a building to meet God," because people should be able to see God in us. We don't take God out into the world because he's already there, but people should be able to see him in us. Thinking about us being the temples of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to build something, you have to think about the fact that the design of a building will be influenced by who is going to live there. I mean, take a look at this building site on the screen now. That's a hotel being constructed. It's been designed to house a number of people. It's being split into individual rooms so more guests can be accommodated in the space. The design shapes who will live there. Or looking at this second picture, as we think about the welcome sign, if we're temples of the Holy Spirit, on us, are these signs that say spiritually, "Welcome, you are welcome into this presence, you are welcome to see God in me, I want God's light, Jesus' light, to shine out of me. I don't want to take the light of Jesus and hide it under a bowl, I want to put it on a lamp for all to see. Welcome, you are welcome to see the presence of God." Well, how about this picture of a lion in the zoo? Are we trying to cage the presence of God, or are we willing to let him out, to unleash the lion and say, "Jesus is for everyone, Jesus is for the whole world, not just for us"? Or how about this picture of a football stadium? It would be looking quite different at the moment, wouldn't it? Quite empty. But you go to a stadium, when we're allowed to again anyway, you go to see something on show, you go to see a display of skill and something wonderful, unless you're a Man United supporter, of course, in which case you just live with disappointment. But you go to watch something exciting. If we are temples of the Holy Spirit, are we like this? Are we like this thing saying, "Come and see God within us"? There's no sense of arrogance in that, because when we look at our lives, we are imperfect. There's so much we could be doing better, but God is within us at work in so many different ways. Is God's presence a gift just for us or the whole world? Are we like Peter, saying we want to hang on to the presence of God? Or are we like Jesus, saying let's take that presence into the world? Do we have any desire to talk about our faith with the people around us? Are we willing to say, "Actually, Jesus has changed my life"? Because if we don't, it implies that perhaps our faith isn't very real inside us. And actually, whether we have a desire to share faith with people is perhaps a diagnosis of how healthy our Christian faith is. Because if we don't want to talk about it, then perhaps it's not real in us in the first place. What are we full of? Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, in verse 43, "A good tree can't produce bad fruit. A bad tree can't produce good fruit. The tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes aren't picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from a treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from a treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is within your heart." What is it that we're full of? Because what we're full of will flow out of us. That's what Jesus is saying. And what we talk about the most indicates what is the most important to us. Well, how about this prayer from Romans 15, verse 13? "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Will God's presence overflow out of us, touching the lives of the people around us? That's the only way we're going to engage with and save this world. If we think we're going to do it through activities, I think we're mistaken. Our activities are great, but people need to find the presence of God. And to do that, we need to work out how we let it overflow out of us. Have you ever received a package in the post and you've opened it, taken the wrapper off, and as you've come to open the thing that's sealed in its packaging, you can't get into it? Have you ever used your teeth? No, don't tell me, I don't want to know. Or perhaps you've had to get some scissors as you try and break into it. And looking at this picture of this lady on the screen, she's desperately trying to open a packaging and she can't. And this reminds me of Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Where the church in Jerusalem, the early church, which had grown and expanded rapidly, was sat quite happily, despite the fact that Jesus had said to them, go into all the world, take the gospel to every nation. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says that on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. All except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The church had hunkered down. And in that moment, they were scattered, they were dispersed, they were deployed. Did Jesus cause that persecution? Absolutely not. Don't believe that for a minute. But he used it to scatter and deploy his church. Did Jesus cause COVID-19? Absolutely not. Don't believe that for a minute. But God has used this situation to cause us to think differently, to shake us out of our box or out of our buildings, and to cause us to think differently. We're approaching Pentecost, or perhaps you're listening to this on the day of Pentecost, or even afterwards. When I think of the day of Pentecost, I think of popcorn. And I think about how God met with his first followers, as the disciples were in the upper room, and they were praying. Jesus had said to them, wait till you receive power from on high. And then you will go out into the world. They were sat there, they were praying, they were calling on God. Like the kernels that you see in the videos that you're watching now on the screen. And as the heat is applied to those popcorn kernels, as they're placed in oil and heat is applied, we see them beginning to pop. We see them beginning to be transformed. You wouldn't start chewing on some popcorn kernels, but when the popcorn is complete, you would. Like a car in a garage, absolutely useless. But when we drive it, when we move it, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we're driven out. And in fact, that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. When the Spirit comes upon people in the book of Acts, they go out, they begin to talk about Jesus. They begin to tell people about who Jesus is. As we think about Pentecost, how will this inspire us in these days of COVID-19? Will we be driven out? Will we want to take the good news to the people around us? Perhaps by sharing something on social media. Perhaps by giving someone a phone call. Perhaps by an act of kindness, doing something for someone. Perhaps by writing a note or a letter. How will we take the good news? How will we let people see the presence of God in us? And how will we let it overflow out of us? What is it that we're full of? The answer to how do we become more effective evangelists is not to try harder. It's not to learn better techniques. It's to be so full of the presence of God that people see him flowing out of us. Are we more like Peter, hanging on to the presence of God for ourselves? Or are we willing to be like Jesus, unleashing the hope, the love, the joy and the peace of God into a world in need? Let's pray. God, help us to become the people who you call us to be. Help us not to hold on to your presence for ourselves. Help us not to try and confine you to a building, but help us to unleash your presence, or to be part of the unleashing of your presence on a world that's so much in need. Amen. Thank you so much for listening.